If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. Lembit Opik on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good morning, Planet Earth. Lembit Opik here on today's News Talk TNT, where we bring you the facts, we kill the spin and tell it like it is as best we can establish it all around the world. We will provide facts. I'll provide opinions, but I'll never mix up the two. My only request is that you bring your cognitive capabilities to my show. In other words, you form your opinions and what you hear. I hope you agree with me, but that's not mandatory. If you disagree or agree, if you want to praise or condemn, do go to the tntradio.live website and you can get involved in the chat. You'll get the most out of the show if you do that. Often we have kind of interesting and sometimes quite surreal dialogues there, which I don't even get into at times. I will read as many of your comments out as I can, especially when they're questions to our guests. You can also call. You'll find the phone numbers at tntradio.live. Coming up in this show, in the next 4 hours, we have a fantastic lineup today. We've got Piers Corbyn, who is the brother of the former leader of the Labour Party in the UK, Jeremy Corbyn. Piers Corbyn has fashioned for himself a pretty formidable reputation as a scientist, as an astrophysicist, in fact, as a weatherman and human rights activist. He's been at the forefront of campaigning for many, many years. He has been denied the chance to stand for Mayor of London on account of, well, what you might regard as slightly sharp practice by the City Hall itself. Would it possibly have been the case he was a threat to the left-wing mayor? We can talk about that with Piers. I want to find out how his campaign's been going to challenge the orthodoxy in terms of climate change, also in terms of how he's been treated in what's meant to be a democratic country. Pull the other one, is what I say on that one. Then we move on to Matt Towner, who is an adrenaline junkie, an author. Interesting views on insurance. Also nearly killed himself in a motorbike crash. We'll be talking to Matt about his eclectic and globally reaching life. That'll be in the second hour. Then we go on to a man who might even be better at impersonating Donald Trump than I am. That is the incomparable Danny Posthill. He is a great activist when it comes to entertainment and comedy and satire as well. I will not be competing with him. I'll leave him to do the impersonations. Let's see what he can do for us. Then we had another premiere in London this week of a film called Playing God, which is really kind of a film that everybody should watch, especially if you are of an inquiring and sometimes a questioning mind when it comes to the orthodoxy and the establishment. Ash Mahmood will be joining us to talk about that film and what it's about, and Ash's view on how cinema can actually influence public thinking. There is a growing, in my view, and powerful subculture which challenges the mainstream, which doesn't always tell you what they want you to hear, but which is causing you to have to think for yourself. Ash is a tremendously eloquent and interesting chap, and I've been honoured to work with him in the past. So all of that on the show as well. But I want to hear your views, as I said before. So if you've got anything to say, to bellyache about, to praise, if you just want to say you like the show, that's fine too. Go to tntradio.live and you'll find the contact details there. Just get involved in the chat. You don't even have to directly address me. It's fascinating for me to see what you're thinking about and what affects your thinking. And that, I have to tell you, sometimes affects mine. We decide who we get onto the show, partly based on what you're talking about. And you can phone in as well. That's a very important thing as well. So all of that with me, Lembit Opik, here on the show. I want to talk to you about a ridiculous story, in my view. That's an opinion, but see what you think yourself now when I explain. I was watching the state-sponsored mainstream media, which I often watch just to see what the orthodoxy is feeding us. And the latest story actually comes from down under, comes from Australia. Good evening to my friends in Australia, by the way. And this is what they're talking about. That, and I'm not making any of this up, folks, that apparently the animals in the Antarctic could be suffering eye damage because of an increase in ultraviolet radiation. The ultraviolet radiation is going up because of an increase in the hole in the ozone layer. The ozone layer is being increased because of bushfires in Australia. The bushfires are happening because of human-generated carbon dioxide. So, yes, folks, we are damaging penguins' eyes by driving cars. It's brilliant. They've now got to this five-stage process. And I saw somebody who was praised before being interviewed on the state-sponsored British television channel, who comes from some Australia, apparently some Australian Education Institute, who didn't even doubt that somebody would question that extremely, in my view, febrile claim. Because, of course, the state-sponsored British TV station has said that they don't need to have balance because the science is settled. So let me see what you think of this. We are driving cars, we're flying in planes, we're generating carbon dioxide. 3.5% of the annual carbon dioxide budget, that is. And of that 100%, that's adding one atom per million per year. So the UK, so human beings might be adding between one atom every 8 years per million and one atom every 16 years per million. But that is enough. That is enough to cause runaway bushfires in Australia, all over the world, presumably. And then the particulates or whatever from those bushfires go into the high atmosphere over the Antarctic. And then they destroy the ozone hole. I haven't heard of that for a while, by the way. And then the ultraviolet radiation goes down and the penguins look up at the sun and they damage their eyes. I just don't believe it. I think it's nonsense. I haven't had time to research it. I only heard this about an hour and a half ago. But I can tell you for nothing, I will be looking into that, even if most of that is true. It cannot be human-generated carbon dioxide that's creating it. Even if the ultraviolet radiation is going up because of an increase in the ozone hole, it is not because we drive cars and fly in aeroplanes. It's a naturally occurring process. Remember, of course, we were told that this was all happening because we had a certain kind of chemical, CFCs, in our fridges. And when that percolated up into the atmosphere, then, frankly, I sort of accepted it at the time, but I was young. But now, forget the CFCs. Now it's bushfires in Australia and all over the world. Here's the problem, my friends. As the green movement clearly loses momentum, what we're now getting is increasingly dodgy arguments, which are trying to bring in all the old crises that we've had and lump them into the new crisis, which is carbon dioxide. So they've changed an entire gas from CFC, chlorofluorocarbon, I think they're called, CFCs in fridges, to carbon dioxide from your exhaust. And they get the same result. The ozone hole is getting bigger because of you. Recall, as I've said before on the show, this simply serves to underline the point that this is a religion. We're all going to die. It's all your fault. But if you repent, you will be saved. Well, this is another example of how they're looking to, I suppose, essentially frighten you into submission. But the good news is it's all falling apart. And in the United Kingdom, I just use this as an example because I live here and I see what's going on. United Kingdom, three political parties have now junked the environmental agenda effectively. They're essentially going to be saying, oh, well, we still care about it, but we're going to change the date. The Conservatives started it off by saying we don't really want to ban petrol vehicles by 2030, though they've done it the messy way. There's still complexity there. That's essentially what they said. Then the Labour Party said, well, we're not going to spend £28 billion. It's about 56 billion Australian dollars a year on our green recovery. In other words, they had a policy without a budget. Now, the Scottish National Party has broken their relationship with the Green Party in Scotland. They were essentially in a coalition till now. And they said, well, we can't go along with this because it's not in the interest of Scotland. Not surprisingly, the Greens have gone absolutely crazy, and that's led to a bit of a constitutional crisis in Scotland. I'll be covering that next weekend. I won't be doing it this weekend. And the reason is because there'll have been a no confidence motion in Scotland, and I've got some suspicions. I know what's going to happen there. But once again, the Greens have been turfed out. The one place where they had ministers, they don't have ministers anymore. And as a result, we see the rolling back of the green agenda. Why, you might ask, is this happening? Is it all because everyone studies the science of climate change like I do? I don't think so. They look out the window and they see that it's unusually cold for April in Britain. And because the Greens and the fanaticists have made the fatal mistake of mixing up weather and climate, they're two different things. We are now all entitled to look out and say the same thing. Say, well, if the weather's cold, then the climate must be okay. Now, I don't feel sorry for the Greens. It's actually slightly fuzzy logic, because in reality, weather and climate are slightly different. Climate is the long-term trend. Weather is what happens day to day. But the Greens did it to themselves. As far as I'm concerned, the Greens started this. It was -4 in parts of the United Kingdom at the end of April, almost May. And that's unusual. I very much doubt even the fanaticists, the catastrophists, the climate change emergency brigade can possibly get anyone to believe we've had an unusually warm April. So that brings me back to where I started. The bushfires caused by human-generated carbon dioxide causing particulates which have swept CFCs out of the way and have damaged the ozone hole over the Antarctic, which in turn is damaging the eyesight of the wildlife. In a way, it would be comical if it wasn't so serious. But in reality, we do get people with a straight face on the unquestioning state-sponsored channel in the UK getting away with talking this bilge. Now, here's one health warning to what I've said. I could be wrong. Maybe this woman who I saw on the television, this professor, I think it was, does know more than I do about it. I would love to debate with her and ask her if that's the feasible situation. But all I can tell you is they tend to run scared whenever I ask for a debate. Let's see where that goes. All I can tell you for now is I don't believe it. I think that the climate looks after the climate, and we bleat about it because we've got people who want to control us by talking about things that we cannot control and blaming it on the great deity, climate change. Let me know your views. Go to tntradio.live. You may disagree, you may agree. Also, you can phone in. But coming up next, we've got a man who knows a lot about this subject and a lot about a lot of other things too. It's Piers Corbyn in the UK, here on the Lembotopic Show on TNT.
It's the stuff.
It's that division
people are talking about.
And that cluelessness that they want to push.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Piers Corbyn, welcome to the show. How have you been?
Well, welcome. And I heard your little intro there. That's very good. Very good. Very well summarised.
Do you agree?
I agree completely, yes.
Yes. Why is it that we've got these...
Are they live now or you're about to be live?
We're live now. You are speaking to fantastic. Up to potentially 8 billion people right now, and anybody who's in space is listening too.
Right. Good. Well, I would say that you're right. The political narrative has changed, and actually, I think it changed really at the Uxbridge by-election, when a number of people, including me, stood on the anti-ULEZ ticket. And we pointed out that there was more pollution in the tube trains than there is on the roads, because they were arguing about pollution of particles instead of CO2, because they were already running away a bit. And after that by-election, which Labour didn't win where they'd expected to, all the political parties started reviewing what they were saying. And that has happened. It doesn't mean they're going to stick with it all the time, but they are running away. And I've got in front of me a flyer from Zoe Garbett, the Mayor of London candidate, and I'll just look through it in detail. And she's only got two lines on climate change. All the rest is about housing, community groups, you know, sort of various good things, youth services and so on. And the two lines just say, act on the climate emergency, focusing on opening new parks, and firm climate action. End. That's all she says about it. And I did hear her speak a few days ago in Hustings about housing. And again, there was nothing about insulating housing to save the planet or anything. It was just, you know, good things. The Green Party is doing good things. So they are running away. And you're right, they won't debate anything. And if people want to know the actual proper arguments, go to weatheraction.com and you can download our scientific paper on the matter, which shows that it's all nonsense and man-made climate change is a fiction, and that carbon dioxide levels follow changes in temperature, not the other way around. And that's been going on for, well, millions of years.
Yes, I'll just explain. ULEZ is ultra low emission zone, which is this ridiculous tax on the poor, people with older cars, which produce more emissions, not on a dangerous level, I would say, but more emissions than rich people. Also, of course, it's a license to kill, because if emissions are bad, then as long as you can afford to pay for it, you can go around killing people.
That's right. Yes. It's a license to pollute. It's very bizarre, actually. Very, very bizarre.
After the break, we're going to go to break. You're quite right. After the break, I want to talk about the latest on the mayoralty, which seems to be.
Oh, certainly, I will talk about that.
A bit of a mess, yeah. and also about just whether we even should have a mayor in London, given the damage.
No, we should. We should get rid of a mayor.
Hold that as a cliffhanger for now. You're listening to the Lemotopic Show here at TNT, Today's News Talk. I'm with Piers Corbyn, a man who's been very prominent for many, many years in British politics. We're going to talk about a case study in mismanaging democracy. Although it's about London, it's relevant to pretty much most of the Western world and calls into question our right to preach to others about being the home and the birthplace of democracy. All of that with me, Lembotopic, right here on TNT. I'll see you in a minute.
TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
At the top of the hour, we'll keep on top of the news.
It's the most important thing we can do.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to today's News Talk TNT with me, Lembotopic. 4 hours of news and comment on a Saturday and on a Sunday. Well, we're talking with Piers Corbyn. We'll go back to him in a minute. Some of your comments, go to tntradio.live if you want to get involved in the chat. You'll also find the phone numbers there if you want to call in. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, comrades, says Mark. Indeed, he is a comrade, as does John. And Mazzy, good morning back to you. Johnny Dollar says they proved most of the fires in Australia are arson. I haven't seen the data for that, Johnny Dollar, but I do know when I went to Corfu during the great fires of 2023, the taxi driver said a lot of the fires were arson, and oftentimes there were insurance claims. It was an excuse to get rid of dog buildings, basically. You'd burn them down, claim the insurance, and claim that the whole thing was caused by climate change. That's going to be tricky for insurance companies, but I'll talk about that a little bit later on as well, I think. The Madrid says that Canada also has arson created fires. I do think there's quite a lot of evidence for that. I think you're right, Madrid. Also, Madrid adds, my car was frozen yesterday morning. I know Madrid doesn't live in Scotland, so this implies that it's really rather cold in Britain in April. If it keeps happening, then my long prediction of a cooling phase this decade, certainly this century, will come to pass. I think that because of what the sun's doing primarily, it's going to start getting cooler. Well, it's too soon to say, really, because this is just a local weather phenomenon at the moment. But if it keeps happening, then perhaps there's enough evidence. I think there is enough evidence, but then there'll be unequivocal evidence to show that we're going into a cooling phase after a slightly warmer period that's just coming to an end. I think the climate change freaks have hacked my car as it was frozen. The dash said it was 13 degrees Celsius. Oh, Madrid, that is double think. That's what Orwell would have said. You read a number and you believe it because that's the narrative. Even if you're freezing your fingers off, it's a family show. A few more comments there. It's chilly, which nobody has ever mentioned. Not a chance. I have 29-year-old gas oil and an Audi S-Line gasolina. Interesting. That was actually Madrid again. And Red says, there seems to be some interference on the line to Piers. Okay, thanks for that. We'll try and make it fixed. I think it might have been your end. I heard him fine, to be honest. And Hemingway says, Zoe Garbutt, that's the Green candidate for Mayor of London. Zoe Garbutt, who refers to herself as she, her, wants to create more cycle lanes, more car-free zones, more green walking routes, also known as pavements. And she has assured the LGBTQ plus community that she has their backs, whatever that means. She also wants Hackney to be the greenest borough and the greenest city in the world, whilst warning that London is not yet ready for the impacts of climate breakdown. Oh, dear. Yes. When you ask these people to explain how our 3.5% contribution to the natural budget, with climate budget of CO2, which is adding one atom per million to the atmosphere of CO2, barely measurable quantity. When you ask them how that can be driving climate change, they don't have an answer for that. They have these complicated, the ones who are smarter have these complicated gearing explanations for it, but it's generally nonsense in my view. Do keep your calls and comments coming. Let's get back to Piers. Piers, you wanted to be Mayor of London. And last time we had you on here, you were launching a challenge because you were being stopped. What happened?
Yes. Well, we had a legal appeal, and basically a KC writes into our judicial review on request from the judge and just repeats all the rules and then says on the bottom of it, no, and then says, now, Mr. Corbyn, you've got to pay us £27,000 court costs. Now, this is all completely mad. I'm not going to pay anything. But they have their rules and they interpret them differently for different people. Because I pointed out in my deposition in the High Court that the Electoral Commission is even quite clear on this. And it says, well, the money that you have to deposit, you've got to put in your names, 330 names. That was all correct. They agreed with that. And the money, I say, has to be deposited before a deadline. And they don't specify information about the money. That's what the Electoral Commission doesn't. Anyway, I did have the money in because somebody dropped out of the mayoral race and allocated it to me, and we duly informed the election process. But they said it was too late, nonsense like that. So we went to the High Court, and the judge just agreed with the other side. But of course, if you look at the details, we don't have free and fair elections. The electoral, the Greater London Returning Officer, who's Mary Hartley, is paid £205,000 a year. And she's also Sadiq Khan's chief executive to carry out his wishes. So there's no way she's going to be free and fair, however efficient from whatever she does she might be. So we're now saying to people, look, I've been knocked out. It's not free and fair. So go in there, end this circus, spoil your ballot paper. Spoil calm, the calm con, spoil your ballot. Scroll across your ballot paper, peace now, peace from there. Or break ULEZ, if you understand the ULEZ, of course, in London, peace from there. And hopefully we'll get big numbers on that, which will show opposition in the beginning of a proper resistance to calm. And we could set up a alternative GLA, alternative mayor after his fake re-election, and actually organise action to stop him, stop what he does.
I know people in different parties who are campaigning in the mayoral election. Yeah. And the universal mood is that the current mayor is incredibly unpopular. Yeah. And the only reason he might win is because of the weakness of the Conservative candidate and no credible left-wing candidate.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why I was knocked out. I mean, you know, I've got Workers' Party as well supporting me, but, you know, they're annoyed too that I've been knocked out. Because the point about me standing was I could take votes from Khan and Labour or ex-Labour people, whereas the Tories are not going to do that. So what's happening now is the Tories will dominate outer London, Labour will dominate inner London, even if a lot of them abstain, you know, they'll still, you know, they're still miles ahead, and that is what will happen. But I could have taken loads of votes from the Khan camp, if you like, or the wannabe camp, and we could have won. But that isn't what's going to happen. And this is a miracle. The election's called off or something and has to be rerun. Because if that happens, interestingly, in the mayor election, new nominations can be put in if there's an emergency that stops an election. Whereas for MP elections, that isn't the case. You can't have new nominations. So anyone out there, please do that on your ballot sheet. Tell anyone you know in London, go in there, break the circus. Just scroll across your ballot paper, peace now or break ULEZ or whatever, peers for mayor.
So let's see what happens there. A write-in campaign, it could easily lead to quite a lot of positivity for you. I know that you're not going to be defeated by this, and we're all older and wiser from this. In your opinion, then, the election's on the 2nd of May, and the favourite still remains the current incumbent mayor, but not because he's popular. It's just because it seems that the others aren't really making many inroads.
It's accidental and a low poll. And there's a lot of other candidates, of course, standing against Khan, but they're just dividing the vote, you see. There's plenty of wannabes, Vanity Fair people, people who are saying the things which might be okay, but you know, we did have a chance of uniting people because there was a lot of people who would have come behind us, but you know, the powers that be were very determined to keep us out. We will carry on the legal arguments so far as we can, but it's very clear. They said you're not allowed to appeal on this, Mr. Corbyn. So we will raise some arguments, but seriously, having a King's Counsellor coming on, just repeating the rules without addressing the key things I said in my deposition, including even addressing how the Electoral Commission recommended things should be done. You know, they just take things hyper-literally, but they don't apply these own rules to their own people, because I showed them. You have a cases here of people not clarifying where the money was from, but clarifying it later and being allowed to stand. So, you know, it's one rule for them and another rule for us. But the whole thing, the mayor elections, I agree, are a nonsense. You see, they're building these mega corporation, mega councils all over the world now. London is the kind of beacon of tyranny on this stuff. But in my opinion, if I was mayor, I would have... we'd have a program to end the mayoralty and hand power back to the boroughs and make the boroughs more accountable to their people. That's what we need.
So you would not want to abolish the position that you were standing for?
I do, yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd abolish it, yeah. I mean, it would be a process, obviously. But, you know, so in the 4 years, I would end the ultra-low emission zone, take measures against the warmongers, tax the warmongers, disinvest anything that we could in the military-industrial complex. So make war unprofitable. And that would have a big effect on what's happening in, well, in Ukraine and obviously in Palestine under Yemen. So that's what I would do. And that's certainly what they do not want.
Would you support... a few questions and comments here. Red says,
yeah.
Writing, I do not consent on the ballot paper could force a systemic change if it were the majority. And asks this question. Could you ask Piers,
yeah.
Would he support David Curtin?
Well, he's not standing as mayor, but his on the list candidates, yes, I think he's good. And also Lawrence Fox. I mean, we might not agree everything with Lawrence Fox, but he's certainly very clear against wokeism. So on the list, you could, you know, make a vote for what it's worth. But the key thing is about the mayor, and this is just not free and fair. I mean, the chance of achieving something on the list candidates, that is true. But, well, you know, having these people in the Greater London Authority doesn't amount to much because the mayor has such high powers.
Holly says that Holly, who says it's mad out there at the moment, says there's cycling runners, walkers everywhere. Holly, yeah. That's the future. That is the mayor's future, though, isn't it, Piers? We're meant to walk and cycle everywhere, even if we're disabled or 92 years old.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And you can't go out of your 15-minute zone. but I think, yeah, you know, this is going to be... And the important thing about what I say all along is you cannot rely on praying to politicians to do anything. The only reason we've made advances is because we basically all had the slogan, drive for the ultra-low emission zone, drive at will, do not pay, take down the cameras. And that's happened massively. Loads of people are not paying, cameras have been taken down. So the, you know, political parties are backing off. And we have to continue this sort of approach.
I was talking earlier on about the environment, and it all seems to be connected, because the mayor of London is obsessed with the idea that there's a climate emergency, but he flew with his buddies to New York to talk about it. Why do these people do that? Why do they think it's all right for them to go to Heathrow Airport and fly across the Atlantic while the rest of us all have to stay within 15 minutes walk of our homes?
Yeah. They have the blessing of the World Economic Forum upon them, do they not? Yes, they think they're invulnerable, but, you know, Sadiq Khan is, you know, I think his days are numbered. Whatever, you see, the election could get called off for all, I mean, maybe I'm being madly optimistic, but there's so many weird things going on, who knows? But all the same, the real resistance to what he's doing will mount and mount. And we will stop ULEZ by action on the ground. We will do that.
You've mentioned a couple of times.
And all that, those will just get disused, and maybe we'll force people somewhere to, you know, reinstate. Well, they put road narrowings at every junction. Every major junction in London has now got narrowed roads to slow down traffic. I mean, it's a conscious policy. And I think also this spells the end of electric vehicles. Because electric vehicles are dangerous, they've been exploding, they're extremely expensive, and, you know, if I'd been mayor, I would end all the favouritism of electric vehicles and, in fact, move towards banning them as far as possible, because their actual pollution in the world, i.e. Heavy metal pollution, the deaths of children in the Congo, mining, all those things that are used, you know, it's incredible, it's unacceptable, it's not sustainable in any moral way, which is what they try and claim their nonsense about CO2 is. CO2 is the gas of life, and electric vehicles are, well, the agents of death.
pretty strong words. In terms of the election, it's going to be on the 2nd of May, Thursday.
Yep.
A number of times you've said that the election could might maybe be stopped. Is it not more likely that the election will take place, the incumbent, Sadiq Khan, will win, but he'll find London ungovernable because he's so unpopular?
That's right. That is what we're saying in speeches, exactly so. What I think we'll do, I mean, we're going to discuss this at Speaker's Corner on Sunday, but we should set up a Resist London organisation, or London Resists, you see, and or Resistance London sounds good, you know, sort of organise opposition in every borough, where he's got stupid cycle lanes and low traffic neighbourhoods, which are destroying businesses. We would just destroy them. I mean, we'd unblock these ridiculous low traffic neighbourhoods physically, and just carry on driving at will on the EULAs. And the cycle lanes, well, some cycle lanes are good. Let's be clear. It's okay to have cycle lanes in some places where they're actually used, but where they're not, they're clearly just a game to limit traffic. I mean, we'd have to campaign locally in every borough to get those reversed. Now, there'd be then arguments between the boroughs and the mayoralty. Well, that's fine. That's what the way we'll have to go. As you say, make it ungovernable.
Stay with us. And we've got another 20 minutes with you, Piers. You're listening to Piers Corbyn, who tried to become the mayor, was stopped on bureaucratic terms. Your calls and comments are interesting. There's a question about COVID, which I'll raise in just a minute. And Johnny Dollar says, I've joined the Heritage Party. I think that is David Curtin's party. And David, incidentally, a stable mate here in today's News Talk TNT. Hemingway says, even the Starship Enterprise had it in for the Khan bloke. Yes. May not be the same one, but I get your point. Keep your calls and comments coming. Holly says, totally agree, Piers. Do not comply. Don't pay the fines. Freedom of travel. We'll get to some more of your calls and comments in a moment. This is the Lembotopic Show here on today's News Talk TNT. You'll find the chat at tntradio.live. Do get involved. You'll find the phone numbers there as well. See you in a minute.
As a combat wounded veteran, I know how hard it is to come home and build a meaningful life. When I was in Iraq, our vehicle was hit. A rocket-propelled grenade exploded right under my seat. Traumatic brain injury, a fractured pelvis, severe burns. They didn't think I was going to make it. I had to learn to walk again and live with the scars, both visible and invisible.
DAV helps veterans like LaToya get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
With DAV on my side, I was able to pursue my dreams. If my story can touch a heart, it can change a life. My victory is overcoming my wounds so I can help other veterans.
LaToya Lucas, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Abel.
I often forget to mention that he's an amputee because Abel will try any activity he can.
My arm helps me with basically everything.
He doesn't see what he can't do, he sees what he can do.
Yeah, okay. This is helping.
The War Amps has just given him the ability to do all the activities every kid can do.
When you donate to the War Amps, you help kids like me. Thank you!
This is the Lembotopic Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Lembotopic Show. We've got an adrenaline junkie on after the top of the hour, but for now, we've got an intellectual giant, Piers Corbyn. If you were Prime Minister, this world would be a better place, and we wouldn't be at war, would we?
Yes, I would know what to do, whereas most Prime Ministers, well, they're told what to do.
One question about that, had you been Prime Minister during the COVID pandemic, would you have enforced a lockdown and forced people to get jabs?
No, I would have opposed all lockdowns and all jabbing. And, you know, as people know, I was first arrested during this period on May the 16th, 2020. And I was saying things that people said, oh, Piers, that's over the top. Don't talk about climate. The people believe. Don't talk about 5G. Don't talk about COVID. You know, just talk vaguely about freedoms, you know. But no, I went very specific about the dangers ahead, was called a conspiracy theorist. But now we can see everything I warned about was true. The climate thing is a con. The jab was there actually to make you ill. That's what I warned. And now we know it's there actually to kill people. So, you know, I would not trust any of this stuff if I was in charge of anything, mayor or prime minister or an MP or whatever.
Was it introduced to kill people? Is it just the waste product as people get rich?
Oh, well, of course, all these things that happen have numbers of interests behind them. The World Economic Forum believes in depopulation. The big pharma companies believe in making money. So they work together around a story. And the COVID story, i.e. claiming that people dying of flu are dying of something new, right? The COVID story was created to introduce the jab, not the jab created to deal with COVID. So now we have people dying and they're stupid enough to believe that they're dying because there's a remnant of COVID around or something. And it's very sad. I've got friends of mine who are actually in the process of killing themselves, having extra jabs, but they're beyond debate, which is sad. I mean, you know, evidence-based science is going out of the window, and that's another thing that we have to defend. And the attack on democracy is the same as the attack on evidence-based science, because, as you know, in Russia and Germany before the war and Stalinism afterwards, they need to get rid of democracy in order to prevent scientific debate and put forward various, you know, falsities on science of the Aryan race and so forth, you see. But once you have debate, these things, you know, evidence-based science wins. Well, you know, that's why they have to get rid of debate. And that brings in this world fascism type of thing that we're heading for unless we carry on fighting for accountability. Now, I mean, the left-right divide for now and the remnants of left-right stuff in these mayor elections is all... it's all complete nonsense. You know, what was left is now right. What is right is now left. I'm called a far right in some places, a far left in others. I mean, it is insane. We stand, and Andrew Bridgen as well, for example, stands for accountability and democracy, whereas the new world order or new world tyranny is for the opposite, i.e. a world government of dictatorship. Where we're all programmed in various ways, microchipped via the jab and so forth. I mean, that is, you know, very dystopian. And we stand completely against that.
You may not want to answer this, or you may not even be able to, but had your brother, Jeremy Corbyn, become prime minister, what would have been his approach towards COVID? As I say, you may not want to go down that path.
Well, unfortunately, he's surrounded by idiots and, you know, WEF sympathisers, and the left in the Labour Party, or the ex-left, generally speaking, believes in climate change, believes in jabbing and all this nonsense. However, having said that, he would, I know, have not gone down the, you know, the coercive route. He would have try to muddle through half on one side and half on the other, which would have been bad, but, you know, he would have been more vulnerable to pressure from, well, not just me, but I mean, you know, the people on the ground who understood things and would have listened more than the others, for sure.
Yep. Well, yeah, that's fine. I understand you're not his spokesman. It's just a question that Red asked that question, incidentally.
No. Yeah, I mean, as long as I'm supporting, but, you know, in the last 2 years, isn't it? We've got differences on these key matters. But his basic defence of human rights and well, most human rights, and his stance on Palestine against, you know, the massacre and genocide going on. I mean, you know, it's very good what he's saying there.
Moving, thanks for that. I appreciate that. And hopefully, Red, you've got your answer there. Let me just read a few comments and I want to go on about the general political situation. Madrid says, let's not forget that these people are overpaid civil servants and we should be able to sack them. Well, theoretically, we can, Madrid, but the political system's quite biased and it's been corrupted, I think, in my opinion.
Yes.
He's a highwayman, says Holly, of our current mayor, I think. Not of you, Piers. And highwaymen are not in a good way. So some highwaymen are good, are they, Holly? I should point out to Holly that Kevin Costner was just pretending to be Robin Hood. I need to explain that. It's not real. The film's not real. Arguable whether Robin Hood is real or not. Holly adds, I just shouted at a load of cyclists, made me feel better. They all have cars and just block up the roads at the weekends and they're like clad clubs. And a couple more here. A bit about Heritage Party. And then strong language there, Madrid. I can't read that one out. There's a reference to cyclists in an image, which I can't open because I'm too busy here. And Mogden says, a guy on Telegram now has about 1,100 unopened ULEZ envelopes, not responded to a single one. Reckons it's an automated process. You only give power to it by paying the fines. Which is kind of interesting. And then on to the jabs. Madrid says the jabs were made a long time before the COVID pandemic. Mogden adds the jab wasn't invented for COVID. COVID was invented for the jab. And Madrid, if you're not going to listen to us, then maybe you might listen to Christina Anderson. I'm not listening to you, Madrid. I am trying to listen to you. I'm just rather busy because if you haven't noticed, I'm actually broadcasting at the moment. There's a clue in what you're watching. And Hemingway says, after an archaeological dig in the Yellow Valley, experts have concluded that Goliath probably died of COVID. Very good. Very good, Hemingway. There's a certain amount of cynicism, I think, amongst our viewers, Piers, towards the COVID pandemic, or scamdemic, I think is my favourite one. Moving on, you're very big on peace. The Americans have just given tens of billions of dollars more money to the self-styled former comedian, I would say still current comedian, Zelensky, in Ukraine. What's your take on Zelensky's demand for the money and America's willingness to give it?
Well, it's totally corrupt. Ukrainian men are being killed in huge numbers, and the Russians are not losing so many. So Zelensky is going to lose completely, and his country is going to be depopulated. So I would say the World Economic Forum and Israel, which is a key thing of the World Economic Forum, and the US of A, and Britain, must have a different plan for Ukraine involving turning it into something else. I don't know what, but it's going to be, they want it to be the core of some type of WEF exploitative system, I think. I mean, our government shouldn't be sending any money at all to Ukraine or any of these military operations. But watch carefully.
But the thing about it is,
I mean, there's troops dying now. They're fighting Russians in Ukraine. That is actually happening. They're not telling us that, but that is happening. So they're building to a world war or something, you know. That's what's going on. Why me standing as peace now was so important, and why you know, we made it the central thing. Because, you see, the powers that be were trying to make these elections now were sort of Muslims versus the rest. And Sadiq Khan, well, he's a Muslim. You've got to support him because they're being discriminated against for some nonsense. So I point out, well, hang on, we want peace. Sadiq Khan, Keir Starmer, the Tories, they're all in it together, and they are killing Muslims en masse in Palestine now, as well as Christians, of course. But that is what they're doing. So the idea of voting for them to save Muslims is complete nonsense. We have to vote for peace and ending, you know, no more funding of any of these arms, and a peace conference. That's what has to happen.
The World War point is an interesting one. Zelensky said if he didn't get money, there'd be a world war. That was an interesting argument.
Well, you have to look at the opposite of everything they said. You know, as it said on Yes Minister, never believe a rumour until it's been officially denied. yeah, it's a nonsense. So, but like, yeah, well, I haven't got much time left, but I would urge people, please, you know, anybody you know in London, spoil the ballot paper. But on the list candidates, you know, vote for other things. It'll make a little bit of expressive difference. But the big hit we're going to make is end the circus. Destroy this nonsense. So get people to spoil their papers and put peace now, Corbyn for mayor, or break ULEZ, whatever, you know, but spoil the paper clearly on behalf of democracy. And if people want to know more, you go to Peace Now London Telegram or another Telegram group, which has got more followers, actually a lot more, Piers_Corbyn_StopNewNormal. That's easy to find. Or you can even send me a text, because we desperately need money for leaflets and everything, but not to pay that 27 grand that they want me to pay, unless I get hauled up in court. But I don't, you know, we won't pay anyway. It's my number, texting, is 07958.
Well, be careful. I'm not sure you should necessarily give it out. If you want to, you will get so many calls, because we've got hundreds of thousands of potential callers and millions of listeners.
Well, people, then go to those Telegram sites, please, then. And, you know, there's donor box links and stuff like that for helping us pay for leaflets and not paying fines.
yes, I think that's fair enough, basically.
Yes.
Looking ahead, then, the election will take place on 2nd May, unless something gets in the way. What are your plans to try and save London and save the world? Say again?
Yes. 2nd of May.
What did you say?
Thursday the 2nd of May. Sorry, what?
Thursday the 2nd of May. Yeah, what are your plans for the years ahead to save London and save the world from itself?
Well, organise independently from below, civil resistance everywhere. If by magic I don't become mayor, then maybe I'll do something else to get into Parliament. I don't know. People are saying that anyway to me. But, you know, I'm not interested in being in politics to be a politician. I'm an anti-politician. I'm only involved because things have to be done. And, you know, me standing in elections various times has helped change the political situation. And, you know, the opposition that I'm helping create now is also doing that. But we have to have a new way of doing politics. It's got to be action from below, accountability. That's the only way we can save ourselves from these vermin trying to run the world.
I've been asked to get you to repeat the Telegram page. What's the Telegram page, Piers?
Well, my Telegram page with 3,000 or 4,000 followers is Piers_Corbyn_StopNewNormal. If you get as far as typing Piers_, it'll probably find the rest. But Corbyn, you can remember that bit as well. That is easy enough. And the other one is Peace Now London Telegram. And for the weather information and climate science, weatheraction.com. And you can also buy forecasts as well, then.
Buy forecasts?
Yes, long-range weather forecasts. Yes, this variable stuff at the end of May, we certainly did, end of April, we did forecast that. But we did our long-range forecast with the improvements next week, so election day might be sunny, but maybe it'll be so warm they'll declare a climate emergency and then end the election. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? No, I'm just wishing crazy things, but you know, whatever, the fight goes on.
You're unsinkable and you're irrepressible. are you going to be able to abolish the mayoralty?
I think in practical terms it could happen, yes, because Lawrence Fox, or whatever you might think about him, he was for abolishing the mayoralty. And a lot of people on the ground really are You know what I mean? They're so pissed off with Sadiq Khan. They're saying, well, it should all go. And that's right. It should all go. We've got to have accountable boroughs instead. Now, the boroughs are corrupt, of course. And one of the key things they're doing is destroying working class communities and replacing them with tower blocks and for 15-minute cities. But these things have to be opposed. We have to occupy buildings that, they're you know, destroying and so forth. You know, the reason why they want these big corporation councils is because they're so difficult to resist from below, because they're so big.
Thank you so much, Piers. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. After you the election's too. Over, we'll get you, once the dust settles, let's find out what's next. And I'm very interested and intrigued and quite persuaded by the idea of abolishing the mayoralty, perhaps more than abolishing the monarchy even, because the mayoralty has a practical and deleterious effect.
Anyway, they're dying, aren't they? Well, peace out.
And go in peace today. Thank you so much. That's Piers Corbyn, who is irrepressible despite the attempts of bureaucracy to stop him. Have your say. Go to tntradio.live. Let me know what you think as well. Also, you find the phone numbers online there as well. I'll read some more of your messages out in just a minute. Coming up in the next hour, we have Matt Towner, adrenaline junkie and author. What's he been up to, and what has he found out on his trips around the world? All of that with me, Len Bitopic, right here on today's News Talk. I'll see you in a minute.